Tesla's stock is up by over 40% in 2 days. What's up? It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 4th day of February. Thanks for being with us again today. Oil, gas, and the coronavirus. We'll check the markets as well. Visa is changing their swiping fees. Middle-class renters are finding it difficult to maintain. Macy's is closing more stores, but another chain is opening stores. And they're anything but cheap. Those stories, plus a conversation about the upcoming black and gold ball with our friend Sam Reed. But first, the business news headlines.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, T-E-R-O.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, ntpda.com, and AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Hey, and thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Reach out to us on Twitter, will you? We are at IOB_NewsHour. You can also find us at Business News. Well, this is noteworthy. Tesla stock on Friday was trading at $650 a share. This afternoon, it rocketed, pun intended, to trade at $920 a share. That's up by 40% in just 2 days. You can credit much of the increase to the seemingly boundless enthusiasm of Tesla's supporters, for whom Mr. Musk, the chief executive, is a hero. So let's check the numbers. Tesla burned through $1.1 billion in the first half of last year as it struggled with the production and delivery of its more affordable Model 3 car. But then Tesla turned a corner in the second half of the year. In the fourth quarter, it generated $1 billion in cash even after capital expenditures and posted its second straight quarterly profit. Even though Tesla posted an annual loss for 2019, as it has every year, its backers argue the company has corrected course. Operating costs were down about 7% last year, while automotive sales were up 13%, and deliveries, get this, they rose by 50%. And with a new Shanghai factory producing vehicles in China and under construction in Europe, Tesla is also poised for global expansion, or so they say. Well, yesterday we told you that Saudi Arabia is considering an oil production cut to stabilize prices. They fear that China, the largest importer of crude oil, will cut imports due to the nation shutting down because of the coronavirus. Experts believe that if the disease continues to spread, China's gross domestic product growth could be severely undermined. One byproduct of the trouble is a drop in gasoline prices here in the United States. In some states, it's barely above $2 a gallon. The price of a gallon of regular in the U.S. is currently $2.46 nationwide. That's down from $2.59 just a month ago. However, in several states, it's much lower and falling. According to GasBuddy, the price is under $2.12 in several states, including Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas, and it's under $2.20 a gallon in Alabama, Arkansas, Kansas, and South Carolina. Happy filling up. Well, stocks rallied today, building on solid gains from the previous session as the market recovered from a steep sell-off that was sparked by worries over, the coronavirus. The Dow closed 407 points higher at 28,807, while the S&P 500 gained 1.5%, ending the day at 3297, and the NASDAQ advanced 2.1% to a record at 9467. The tech-heavy benchmark became the first of the major indexes to come back completely from the coronavirus-related fears. Tesla, meanwhile, powered the NASDAQ with a surge of more than 20% that lifted the stock, as we just told you, above $900 a share. Microsoft and Caterpillar both rose about 3% to contribute to the gains. The S&P 500 tech sector, well, that surged by 2.6%, led higher by, you guessed it, Apple. So with all this great news coming out about Wall Street and these major, major stock fluctuations and how much the stock has gone up, it would have you believe that middle-income Americans are living on Easy Street because of Wall Street. No. Middle-class Americans are now finding it even more difficult to pay housing costs. Are you ready for this? Here we go. A new report from the Joint Center for Housing Studies of Harvard University calculates that nearly 11 million renters spent more than 50% of their income on housing in 2018. That equates to 1 in 4 renters. Moreover, there were 6 million more cost-burdened renters in 2018 than what there were in 2001. The problem is much more predominant among lower-income Americans. 72% of renters earning less than $15,000 a year were severely burdened last year in 2018, as were 43% of renters earning between $15,000 and $30,000 a year. But the issue is becoming even more common among middle-income Americans as the cost of housing has risen. Nearly 56% of renters earning between $30,000 and $45,000 a year were cost-burdened, and that was up by nearly 5.5% from 2011. And that was the largest increase in the share of cost-burdened renters across any income band in the country. So $30,000 to $45,000 a year wage earners? That's the biggest increase among anybody in the country. Among those who earn between $45,000 and $75,000 a year, this share increased 4.3 percentage points to 27% of those folks are now housing burdened. A number of factors have caused more Americans to face hardship in affording their rental housing. In recent years, there's been a surge in demand for rental units among high-income Americans. Households with incomes of at least $75,000 a year accounted for more than three-quarters of the growth in renters. As a result, construction has been centered on higher-priced units. Meanwhile, the nation's supply of low-cost rentals, that continues to shrink. So low-cost rentals made up only 25% of the nation's rental stock as of 2017. That's down from 33% just 5 years earlier. The largest declines, get this, the largest declines occurred in states not known for their high-end housing markets. What states were those? Iowa, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Texas. So yeah, middle-income Americans are feeling the squeeze when it comes to rent. Well, if you take credit card payments, you should know that Visa is planning the biggest changes in a decade to the rates U.S. merchants pay to accept its cards. Why? Well, the company's hoping to persuade more people to abandon checks. The company's interchange fees, those are fees charged every time a consumer uses a card, will go up or down depending on the merchant and the way a consumer pays for their purchases. All of this is according to a document Visa sent to banks that outlined the changes. So how big a deal is swipe fees? Are you ready for this? For banks, the $91.2 billion in fees they earn on credit card portfolios is now more than the interest they charge on loans. Swipe fees contributed the largest portion, $52 billion. Wow. Now you know. And if you are in business and you accept swipes, watch for an announcement from your bank. Well, the report is that Macy's will be shutting 125 stores over the next 3 years and slash about 2,000 corporate jobs. Those corporate jobs are in tech offices in San Francisco and its Cincinnati headquarters. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, the department store chain plans to exit weaker shopping malls and instead will shift its focus toward opening smaller format stores in strip centers. The company's stock, which is valued at more than $5 billion, has fallen by more than 35% over the past 12 months. And finally, there is this. As some retail stores shrink in number, there's a chain that's growing. And no, it's not the dollar stores this time. It's far more pricey than that. Sephora, owned by Louis Vuitton parent company LVMH, says it will open 100 stores this year in its biggest real estate expansion to date. The new, smaller stores will be outside of shopping malls and focus on fragrances and hair care, adding to its 2,500 existing locations nationwide. And by the way, in case you're wondering, the global cosmetics industry, well, it's projected to hit $430 billion in 2 years. That's the news. Coming up next, Sam Reed from the Zeta Kappa Lambda Foundation is going to be in talking about the Black and Gold Ball. It is a wonderful event. We'll talk to Sam about that and about his new startup. It's all coming up next here on Insight on Business, the News Hour.